Good morning. I'd like to call the special June 19, 2019 meeting of the Arizona Game and Fish Commission.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Bill, can you hear me?
I can hear you better now.
Okay, we are calling the June 19, 2019 special meeting of the Arizona Game and Fish Commission to order. Mr. Director, would you introduce the agenda for us, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, we have Chairman Zeiler, Commissioner Davis, and Commissioner Guggenhauer here in person. Commissioner Greg is on the phone, but to start, if you are okay, I'll take a quick roll call for the record.
Please do.
So when I call your name for commissioners, just say aye or here. Chairman Zeiler?
Here.
Commissioner Davis?
Here.
Commissioner Guggenhauer?
Here.
Commissioner Brake?
Here.
And Commissioner Sparks. So we have four commissioners at the meeting. So, Commissioner Brake, for your information, we're here in the Quail Room. We have probably 30 or so members of the public, rough count, and several department staff present. We'll be operating off an agenda revision number one, dated June 19, 2019. For the benefit of the public, agendas are available and located by the table by the door. If a member of the public wishes to speak to the commission on an agenda item, please fill out a blue slip, also available on the table. Bring that up to us up here, and we'll ensure the commission gets it, and we'll recognize you. This meeting is being webcast and enable the public to view the proceedings online. However, the webcast is not interactive. Members of the public must be present in order to speak on agenda. We are also taking comment from our six regional offices, which are also open for this meeting. We'd also like to make everyone else aware that designated exits are at the back of the room, and there is a public restroom facility at the main public entry. So with that, Mr. Chairman, we can begin with the agenda.
Okay. Please do.
Item 1 is approve the notice of final rulemaking for R-12-4-303, unlawful devices, methods, and ammunition. Presenter is Jim Odenkirk, Chief Counsel.
Morning, Mr. Odenkirk.
Good morning, Commission. Commissioner Brake, I want to make sure you can hear me. My microphone is loud enough for you.
I can hear you. If there is some way to make it louder, it would be much appreciated.
I will speak as loud as I can without causing a problem.
That helps right there.
Okay. I have a short...
And I apologize.
That's fine. I have a short slide presentation. I'm going to wait for it to appear on the screen before I get started. And for your benefit, Commissioner Brake, I will go through this and read the material so you are aware of what we're discussing on the screen.
Thank you.
This meeting culminates the Commission's rulemaking process to amend a rule in Article 3, Rule 303, Unlawful Devices, Methods, and Ammunition. On the screen is the proposed rule language that the Commission approved at its March Commission meeting, except for one addition to the language. The proposed rule would make it unlawful for anyone to participate in, organize, promote, sponsor, or solicit participation in a contest where a participant uses or intends to use any device or implement to capture or kill predatory animals or fur-bearing animals as defined under ARS Section 17-101. For purposes of this subsection, contest means a competition among participants where participants must register or record entry and pay a fee, and prizes or cash are awarded to winning or successful participants. The addition is the word sponsor, which I will explain in a little more detail later on. The Commission's rulemaking authority for this rule. The rule is established to make it unlawful to use any device or implementation that can kill or capture an animal during a contest. This is consistent with the Commission's rulemaking authority under 17-231, which allows the Commission to establish rules for the manner and methods used to take wildlife. rationale for the rule. In reviewing the Commission's preamble in the notice of proposed rulemaking and reviewing Commission's public comments on this rulemaking, the rationale for the rule is set forth in this slide. It responds to the Commission's concerns that hunting contests that involve killing an unrestricted number of animals for economic benefit undermine the Commission's public trust duty to preserve hunting. Public controversy over highly publicized predator contests has the strong potential to threaten predator hunting in general as a legitimate wildlife management function. And the loss of hunting would represent a failure to conserve wildlife for the beneficial use of the citizens. And that is a fundamental principle of the public trust doctrine and is embodied within the North American model of wildlife conservation. So, as indicated at the March Commission meeting, the Commission would open a public comment period on the proposed rule and accept written comments from the public in regards to the proposed rule. Commissioner Brake, the slide demonstrates or shows the breakdown of the public comment. The total number of comments was 4,810 comments. Most of the comments were in the form of a form letter that support the rulemaking. But if you remove the form letters and look simply at the individual comments, the number of comments in support of rulemaking outnumbered the opposition by a number of about 2-1. And most of the comments came from residents as opposed to non-residents. A number of the comments had proposed making changes to the proposed rule, and I've outlined or summarized the nature of those proposed changes. The first proposed change says that the proposed rule should be revised to broaden the definition of contest to eliminate registration fees and prize elements. The Department's response to that is that the proposed rule is intended to respond to the Commission's principal objective to prohibit those events that are formally organized and publicized and generate the strongest public outrage and objection. Those events depend on public promotion and attract participants willing to pay for the chance to win prizes. If these type of events continue to occur, they pose the greatest threat to the future of predator hunting and fur bear hunting and to hunting in general. To broaden the scope of a rule to define a contest as simply a competition among participants injects a level of ambiguity into the rule and would likely have unintended consequences. Moreover, the enforcement difficulties presented by defining a contest as a competition alone will create a significant challenge for law enforcement to distinguish between hunters involved in a contest versus hunters engaged in no competitive activity. This would make enforcement overly burdensome compared to the proposed rule that sets forth elements that clearly define the scope of a contest. The second proposed change with proposed rule should expand the species covered. The species included in the rule are those species that are the target of these contests. A rule should employ the least intrusive means possible to address the rule's objective. Including species that are not typically targets for contests would not be consistent with the least intrusive requirement. The third change would propose that the rule be revised to include the term sponsor. The department agrees with this recommendation and has modified the proposed rule to include the word sponsor. Likely, the term sponsor is included within the existing term promote. However, to the extent the terms differ, the final rule includes sponsor to address those cases where a contest sponsor is different from one who promotes a contest. This is not a substantial change from the initial proposed rule, and no supplemental notice is required. The fourth proposed change would terminate rulemaking and change seasons and set bag and possession limits instead. department's response to this proposal is that terminating the rule and establishing bag limits and limit season dates would not be the least intrusive means possible to achieve the rule's objective. This recommendation would impact all predator and fur bear hunting and not just contests. And currently there is no biological reason to impose bag limits and restrictive seasons on this type of hunting. The last proposed change would be not to have a rule to prohibit contests, but simply to regulate contests. The department's response to this recommendation is that this recommendation would not address the primary purpose of the rule to prohibit those contests that have produced the greatest public outrage and objection. The recommendation would remove some of the objectionable aspects of these events, but would nonetheless allow them to continue. Next steps. The public comment period has ended on May 12th. Today is the date for the final decision on the Commission's proposed rule. If the Commission approves the rule today, it will appear before the Governor's Regulatory Review Council on September 4th. If the Review Council approves, the rule will become effective on January 1, 2020. At that point, I am done with my slides, and if the Commission has any questions, I will be happy to answer them.
Commissioner Brake, do you have any questions for Mr. Odenkirk?
No, sir.
Okay, any questions from the Commission? Commissioner Davis.
Just a thank you to Jim and the department in reviewing all the comments. Obviously, the commissioners have read them as well, and appreciate the work that you put in to that, the contemplation of the sponsor issue. It's a job well done. It's a complicated matter, and appreciate the department's effort in proposing this rule.
Thank you, Commissioner Davis. Any other questions? All right, if there's no other questions right now for the from the Commission, what we'd like to do, Mr. Odenkirk, we've got a significant number of blue speaker cards requests to speak on this topic, and so I ask you to stand by and we'll take those. For the public in attendance, first of all, thank you for being here. Thank you for your interest in this topic. It's certainly certainly an important issue for us as a commission and the department. We have a significant number of speaker cards here, more than we typically have. What we're going to do is we're going to ask you to limit your comments to 2 minutes. We're just going to go in order. We have, like I said, we've got several of these to go through. So we're going to ask you, when you come to the podium, we need you to state your name, and if you're representing any kind of an organization at that point, for the record, we need you to state that as you begin your comments. And then your 2 minutes will start. We ask you to please respect that. Being that we have so many folks here as well, I'd also ask you that if you have comments with respect for the time here and in the interest of time, if you have comments that are repetitive in nature or redundant with somebody else that's already spoken, just ask you to say that you maybe agree with the comments previously and stick to any new comments that you have, just so we can work through and make sure everybody gets a chance to speak. So with that, we're going to start off. I will do my best to read your names, and I don't mean to mispronounce your last names, but I'm reading your penmanship here, so sometimes it's going to be difficult for me to do that. But we're going to start off with Linda, it looks like Rawls, from Carefree. Again, if you'd start off by stating your name and if you represent anybody, and then go ahead. You've got 2 minutes for your comments.
Okay. Linda Rawls. I represent myself, live in Carefree. You know, I was telling someone earlier who was afraid to speak that I'm an attorney, and so I speak a lot, and I don't normally get nervous, but I care about this so much I get very nervous, so I apologize ahead of time for any emotion that creeps in. I'm going to be optimistic today, and thank you, gentlemen. I tell gentlemen because I would like to see a little more diversity on here, but gentlemen, I'm going to be optimistic and think you're going to take this step and approve this. It has flaws. Some people are going to talk about those flaws. I'm not. I see this approving this as a step in the right direction, and for the following reasons. I applaud you for the following reasons. The first one is that we live in a very divided society, as everybody knows who watches the news. We get choices of left, right, even when I walked in and my for or against. You know, we don't get a third choice. You know, I'm tired of those stereotypes and those two choices. You know, I'm a vegetarian and a gun rights person. I'm a libertarian who supports hunting if you eat the meat. I'm not for killing for fun, which is what this is. So I look at this world where we are arguing about global warming and should you be a vegetarian, should you use a plastic straw. You know, those are easy ones for me, but not for a lot of people. So we argue and we argue and we argue. This is something I think that almost all sane and reasonable people can agree on, that to go out and just shoot animals for fun, perhaps our society can agree that we've moved beyond that. So I applaud you for finding an issue that most people can agree on, and the public comments show that. Secondly, I also applaud you. I know you are supporting hunters, and you're couching this as supporting hunting, and I understand that hunters pay for most of wildlife conservation in Arizona, but I also applaud you for noting that all of us own the wildlife in Arizona, not just the hunters, and I own the wildlife, and I don't want them killed for fun. And last, as I was leaving this morning and telling my husband what I might say, to actually argue against killing contests for me is like arguing against torturing children. I can't understand how you can support such a barbaric act. And so I won't spend any time on that. I'll simply say I applaud you for finding something we can agree on in a divided society. I think that it's time for Arizona to move beyond things such as cockfighting, dogfighting, and killing contests for fun. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Daniel Muchow from Phoenix.
Chairman Zeiler, members of the commission, good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. My name is Daniel Mucho. I'm appearing here on behalf of myself. I first want to commend the commission for proposing a rule to ban predator hunting contests in Arizona. Many people in the state, like me, when we first learned of these activities, were sort of struck with disbelief. So this is a great positive first step, and I commend you for that. Like all good things, however, there's always room for improvement. One thing we can do to make this rule more effective is to eliminate two unnecessary requirements. These are in the definition of contests, which require registration and fee payment in order to have the contest banned. Let me give you a couple of reasons why we should do that. First, removing these so-called loopholes are necessary to align the rule with the stated purpose in Section 8 of the Notice of Proposed Rulemaking, which says, contests that link economic gain to the greatest number or variety of animals killed are contrary to the important principle that the take of wildlife should not be allowed to go to waste or taken for economic gain. But the rule as proposed goes beyond the notions of waste and economic gain. It adds registration and fee payment requirements. We need to remove those to align the purpose of the rule with the actual language in the rule. Section 8 of the Notice of Proposed Rulemaking also talks about social concerns. I've been fortunate to have the opportunity over the years to serve on a number of civic organizations in the state, including the Arizona Chamber of Commerce, Valley Forward, now known as Arizona Forward. And in a lot of our committee and board meetings, we often talked about the quality of life in the state. What can we do to make it better for our citizens? What can we do to make Arizona appeal to those good businesses who want to relocate to the state? In looking at these contests, in my view, they're a stain on our state. They are something that negatively impacts our ability to present a good life quality and attract and maintain desirable economic enterprises within the state. But to make these contests effective, we need to remove those two requirements. Finally, I had the opportunity to look at the North American model of wildlife conservation. I think many of you are probably familiar with that, the fourth tenet or principle of which states that wildlife should only be killed for a legitimate purpose. In researching the history of that rule, I found some good quotes that I think are applicable today. George Halleck, the original owner and editor of Forest and Stream, wrote that those who killed merely for the fun of killing debased sport hunting. George Grinnell, the co-founder of the Boone and Crockett Club, said that true sportsmen were those who hunted for pleasure and never for profit. So I think we can take the words of those venerable sportsmen to heart, make a good rule here that's effective to actually eliminate these contests in perpetuity and in the future. I thank you for the opportunity to comment. I'd be pleased to answer any questions you may have.
Thanks for your comments.
Yep.
Folks, just a reminder, we really need to have you adjust your comments to stay within that 2 minutes, please, just so we can get everybody in. Next one we've got, it looks like Joan Soley.
My name is Joan Soley. I'm from Phoenix. I'd just like to make sure that these contests end without loopholes. And I think that we're teaching our children the wrong thing. When we go into the desert and shoot as many animals as possible and laugh about how much fun it was and dump them, the bodies in the desert and the birds and the bald eagles scavenge off them and then die of lead poisoning, I think we're teaching our children to kill for fun and no respect for animals, the killed that are killed, and we wonder why we have such serial killers and people with no remorse. It's also been proven that children who have been abused, if you teach them to be kind to animals, they may not grow up to be an abuser themselves. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker request we have is from Kathleen, and last name starts with a C, from Levine. I know I've mispronounced your name before. I didn't want to try again. We'll just let you come up and introduce yourself.
Well, at least you can read it this time.
I can read it.
My name's Kathleen Cheatham. I'm from Levine. I'm representing myself. And I'm glad you're doing something about the wildlife killing contest, but I hope you're making it loophole-free or they will continue, and our wildlife doesn't deserve to be treated like this. There's no scientific evidence that supports the indiscriminate killing of predators, but there is plenty of evidence showing their ecological importance. I also feel teaching children that it's fun to kill for no reason is part of the problem we have today with all the shootings. Please make this ironclad so the killing doesn't go on. And I also feel that the open season on coyotes needs to stop. Thank you.
Thanks for your comments. It looks like maybe Betsy from Sedona, or Betty.
Good morning. Thank you for today. We greatly appreciate the proposed rule that's on the floor for you to vote on. And all I'm going to do is toggle on to what Dan just said with some supporting comments.
Ma'am, would you state your name for the record,
please? Oh, I'm
sorry.
Betsy Klein from Sedona, Arizona, and I represent myself.
Thank you.
There are some loopholes in this rule that do need to be closed, and so I thought if I read some excerpts, they might help you in making the decision to strengthen. And I quote, "We have an issue before us today that is contrary to two important tenets of the North American model, one that does not allow the take or use of wildlife for economic benefit, and others that prohibit the take or use of wildlife for wasteful, illegitimate, or unsportsmanlike purpose. To continue to permit an activity that is contrary to these two important tenets undermines our duty as trustees for wildlife to ensure the proper use of wildlife. It is incumbent on all of us in this room that we continually seek to ensure a continuation of the public's trust and respect for both the Commission and the North American model. In reference to rules, they must uphold the highest ethical principles, and they prohibit the take and use of wildlife for economic and illegitimate purposes. As stewards of all wildlife, we owe this to present and future generations." All those comments were made by you, Commissioner Davis. Please follow through with the intent of the rule and what is incumbent upon this commission, as you so clearly stated, and close those loopholes. Finally, please don't count me out as one of your stakeholders. Obviously, wildlife is important to me, and I want to support a department and a commission that combines science, wildlife conservation, and humanity. Thank you.
Thanks for your comments. Tina Meredith.
Good morning. My name is Tina Meredith. I support a ban on contests, but this rule does have the two loopholes that have been talked about. The verbiage about requiring an entry fee and registration are problematic for me. I didn't initially have a problem with this rule and was actually fully in support of it, but shortly after you announced the rule, a contest was held with no entry fee. Over 100 hunters killed a bunch of animals for some prizes. Then I heard contest participants and organizers talking about how you created the most lenient rule as possible so that they can easily get around the ban. This is the type of thing that's going to happen now that we'll end up having to keep addressing. I think you're going to continue to lose support from people if you pass a rule that's so easily circumvented. You've come out publicly stating contests are illegitimate and unethical and violate the North American model, but then you don't close the loophole by deleting like three words. I think that if you say the goal of the rule is to stop contests where animals are killed for cash and prizes, then that's what the rule should say. I suggest you delete the conditions, entry fee, and registration. A contest to kill animals for prizes is the same with or without these two conditions. Thank you.
Thanks for your comments. Lane Kahlstrom from Mesa. Good morning.
Good morning. Hello, my name is Lane Kahlstrom. I'm from Mesa. And I'm so pleased to see that Arizona Game and Fish is taking action against wildlife killing contests. I'm familiar with the history of wildlife killing contests in the state and the previous attempt the commission made back in 1999 to attempt to ban these kill contests then. It's been 20 long years and countless victims later. 2 years ago, the public was united in speaking out against trophy hunting of Arizona's mountain lions, bobcats, and other big cats by way of the ballot initiative. Polling completed for that campaign showed the public's contempt for blood sports and unethical killing practices, and more importantly, it highlighted the public's mistrust that our wildlife are being ethically managed and protected. But now is a new day. Now there's an opportunity for you to represent all Arizonans, the vast majority of whom recoil in disbelief and disgust when they learn about wildlife killing contests. Now is the time to earn the public's trust in the commission's intention to stop all this slaughter and ban all wildlife killing contests. To that end, now is not the time for half measures that will allow kill contests to continue in a slightly modified format with a wink and a nod to the good old boys. This rule with a modified language that's been recommended by so many, including myself, would be the clear, unequivocal stand for protecting wildlife that the public is expecting and waiting for. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Robin Motzer. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for this opportunity. I'm Robin Motzer from Tucson, Arizona. I agree with the previous comments from everyone so far, and that this proposed rule is a good start, but it needs to be improved to effectively stop the indiscriminate killing and monetizing of our wildlife through contests. And for the sake of the health of all and well-being of all of us, including wildlife, please restrict the use of lead ammunition. According to the EPA, lead paint was banned in 1978. I've seen wildlife die from lead poisoning. It's a slow, very painful death that I would not wish on anyone. We all know that wildlife killing contests are extremely wasteful and disrespectful, which is immoral and unethical. And we've already talked about it's deceitful and violates the public trust in North American wildlife management practices. So, in this new day, thank you for taking the opportunity to close these loopholes to protect all animals and the people who love them. Wildlife is inspirational, a great way to learn and to connect with nature. Each species has a purpose and a job to do in our ecosystem. The residents enjoy wildlife viewing, and it brings tourism and monetary support to the area. Please remember that there are many positive ways to support wildlife management rules, laws, and practices. Killing is not a wanton game, and the loopholes to stop wasteful killing contests of all animals must be a part of a protective new plan. Wildlife is struggling not just because of human overpopulation growth and habitat loss, also from animal agriculture and farming. So let's all help and support our beautiful wildlife. Thank you.
Thanks for your comments. Joanne Kendrick from Sedona. morning.
Joanne Kendrick from Sedona, Arizona, Chairman Ziegler and Commissioners. I was dismayed to learn that the state of Arizona permits wildlife killing contests, barbaric events in which participants win prizes for killing the greatest number or the largest of a given wildlife species. Bobcats, cougars, coyotes, foxes, and other animals die or injured or orphaned in these tournaments. Killing contests are simply bloodbaths for entertainment purposes, with participants glorifying kill numbers over respect for the animals and their habitat. In some contests, children as young as 5 are encouraged to participate in these events. Wildlife killing contests, like dog fighting, are the province of a small subculture that is rarely glimpsed by the general public. The public's and most hunters' ire toward killing contests has led many organizers to keep their events low profile to avoid negative publicity. Allowing a minority of the population to slaughter wildlife en masse violates the rights of the majority of Americans. Thank you for listening to the majority of the people and proposing a ban to prohibit predator killing contest. Please pass a loophole-free rule that effectively ends wildlife killing contests once and for all. I urge you to modify the proposed rule by adding non-game animals to the rule and removing the term participants rule removing the term participants must register or record entry and pay a fee so that contest organizers and participants cannot circumvent the ban by simply waiving registration and entry fees. I ask you to enforce that ban and close any potential loopholes. It is the right thing to do. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Folks, if I could just remind you again, if you've got some new points that you'd like to bring up, we'd certainly like to hear those. We're hearing a lot of the same thing over. We don't want to curb any of your comments, but it's important that if you've got new points that we spend some time bringing those up too. So please focus on those if you could. Next one we have is Kate Scott from Elgin. Good morning.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. My name is Kate Scott. I'm the founder of the Madryn Archipelago Wildlife Center, which I'm representing today in Elgin, Arizona. And I also bring a letter from the Arizona Indigenous Peoples Caucus for you to have to read. They support the rule. They applaud your going after this, but they want it with the revisions, as my wonderful people here have been saying, so I won't go into all that. But my intention is to underscore how critically important it is, if it's worded without ambiguity and with the revisions. And as commissioners, you're tasked, per Article 3, powers and duties, to be responsible for the enforcement of laws for the protection of wildlife. And in that simple statement, it encompasses what we, the public, non-consumptives, which is a new word I found out, assume is being carried out, which is why the 13 legislators that I met with this year, my county supervisors in Santa Cruz and Cochise, and the community members that personally spoke with want this rule to be very clearly worded to avoid surreptitious actions of ad hoc groups that feel empowered based on the misguided and false premise that they are helping to manage predators or have some right as universally claimable as the aesthetic and recreational interests of its members, all the while killing the innocent animals. So I urge you to take what everyone is bringing to you today to heart and to please don't make assumptions about us non-consumptives. We are not a silent minority. We are part of the national and statewide growing concern for how wildlife for all is managed. And please do not assume that the urbanized or the rural constituents, of which, thank you, I have a ranch, I am part of that, is on different ground. We are on common ground. And we are related to all things, and all things are related to us. Thank you.
Thanks for your comments. Don Scott from Fountain Hills. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commission members. I'm Don Scott from Fountain Hills. It brings me no joy to be here to discuss something so vile as wildlife killing contests. I believe that it's safe to say that this issue was brought to the public for a vote. Wildlife killing contests would stand as little chance as the wildlife being decimated for points. Commissioner Davis has cited the North American model of wildlife conservation, pointing out the model's creed that you do not profit off the hunting of wildlife. These contests unquestionably fail the model's conservation principles. And these weekend gatherings invariably involve a lust to slaughter for cash and prizes, or perhaps dinners, drinks, side bets, or anything else that fails wildlife held in public trust. As the North American model states, quote, strong leadership and concerted efforts on the part of wildlife professionals will be required to make the case that wild places are important and that wildlife needs to be protected for one and all, as posited by the public trust doctrine, end quote. The only thing worse than the public's perception of these gruesome events are the events themselves. The way to end that perception is to pass a rule that effectively ends these contests. Yet some seem hell-bent to defy the commission, stating directly on the AZ Game and Fish Facebook page, quote, trust me, if they ban the contest, we will still hold them. Any such defiance by a few would be a stain on all. Resolutions passed in various Arizona counties do not a law make, but they do send a message, and they do matter. But maybe what matters most here today is the reputation of the hunter who truly believes in ethics, fair chase, and respect for wildlife. Killing contests fail on all counts. I ask the commission to pass and enforce this proposed rule. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Catherine Cura from Phoenix. Pardon? Thank you. Looks like Ruth Ann Penn.
Ruth Ann Penn from Payson, Arizona. You know, I was here in April, and I spoke to you guys, and I asked you, Mr. Odenkirk, too, I asked you to make a rule that was tight and had teeth in it. You didn't do that. There's too many loopholes here. And I'm saying, because I don't think you guys wrote it. I think Mr. Odenkirk did. And so, I don't know if you directed him or if he writes it and then he says, is this okay to you? But it's not okay. And the trouble is that if things happen like they say on social media and what Tina saw, we'll be back. We'll be back here just bringing this before you again. So get it right this time. First time. Then also, I was a little bit insulted maybe. It's maybe the rulemaking policy, but Mr. Odenkirk made a differentiation between those that are people speak on their own or if they used a form, a card. I gave out 20 of those cards, but I spent a lot of time speaking to people and trying to make them believe that such atrocities actually happen. And but they're busy. They're busy. They were against killing contests, but they were busy. So that I don't want to belittle those forms. They're the same as the one that I wrote because I'm not afraid to speak with you. I'm not afraid to email you. I would talk to you personally. The other thing is that, remember, I'm the police officer, retired police officer.
Ms. Penn, could I get you to direct your comments towards the commission, please?
Okay. All right. Well, the real world. I'm talking in the real world, and I know how things happen, and so that's why I want everybody to hear about this. I don't know what Game and Fish officer couldn't interview somebody to find out whether or not they were there for a contest, and so I think you need to tighten up this rule. That's the main thing. It has to have teeth, and it has to be tightened up, because we'll be back.
Next speaker is Gabe Wigtill from Tucson.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, my name is Gabe Wigtill. I'm a wildlife protection manager at the Humane Society of the United States and a Tucson resident. On behalf of our Arizona supporters, I would like to express our support for the proposed rule. You are justified in moving forward with the final rulemaking because wildlife killing contests are antithetical to the public trust doctrine and to tenets of the North American model of wildlife conservation. You are also justified in moving forward with final rulemaking because wildlife killing contests are out of step with our current understanding of the important role that native carnivores play in our ecosystems. The days of thinking of certain wild animals only as vermin to be exterminated are in the past. Indiscriminately killing carnivores will not reduce or mitigate conflicts with humans, pets, or livestock. Killing contests do not target specific problem-causing animals. Wildlife management agencies across the country are recognizing that killing contests will not increase populations of game mammals. Predation is a natural part of a carnivore's life history. While we support the proposed rule, we ask you to consider adopting amended language. Not all contests necessarily require payment of fee for registration or entry. We appreciate your willingness to bring forth this issue for thoughtful conversation. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your comments. Gina Edwards from Surprise. Good morning.
Good morning. Tina Edwards from Surprise. The only thing that I really want to say is with these predator killing contests, I'm glad that you've got this proposed bill, especially because I think the Mexican gray wolves might be mistaken for a coyote in some of these contests. And as we all know, we're trying to bring their numbers up, and they are this year, but that's really the only thing different that I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thanks for being here. Thank you. Deborah Rossum from Sedona. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. I'm Deborah Rossum from the village of Oak Creek in Sedona. And a fairly new resident. And a fairly new resident to Arizona. I believe in all sentient life and have a passionate, high value and love for animals in particular. I applaud your efforts with this bill, and I stand among those who feel that some of the language is problematic enough to be called loopholes, and I definitely would like to see a strong, clean language in support of the banning of wildlife killing contests. And from my heart, I would add and quote Mahatma Gandhi and support, "The greatness of a nation and its moral progress can be judged by the way its animals are treated, and so be it." Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for your comments. Melissa Fernandez from Sedona. Good morning.
Good morning, Commission. My name is Melissa Fernandez, and I am here today, obviously, to speak to you regarding the topic of killing contests. I have lived in Sedona for the past 3 years, and I'm originally from New Jersey, where I retired from law enforcement as a captain from a county sheriff's office. My background is exclusively in forensic death investigation, where I've had over 20 years' experience. I'm not a hunter, nor is anyone in my family, but I'm not opposed to legal hunting, which is governed by state licensing and rules. In my field of expertise, though, I can only compare these killing contests to the equivalent of what would be mass murder. Contestants fan out, and with rifles often equipped with telescopic sights, they methodically pick off any coyote that is flushed out by dogs or comes to investigate insidious calls that mimic wounded prey. The most prolific killers win cash or prizes, and in some events, there's even a children's division, which I was appalled at. When I was a child, I was enamored by all wildlife, and obviously, I continue to be. At the end of the event, a giant pile of dead coyotes photographed and then discarded. These contests are cruel and in no way define the concept of sportsmanship. They are uncivilized and bloodthirsty, and they should be banned in Arizona with no loopholes of entry fees or any other language that will allow them to continue. Predatory wildlife is beautiful, and it's necessary in the state of Arizona, and they keep the balance of nature in place. Any reasonable person should be able to discern these contests from simply hunting or corrective control of a threat to the public. I truly believe that all legal issues should always be weighed against the standard of reasonableness. Killing contests in any objective light cannot be held to that standard. For this reason, I'm asking you to make the contest illegal, to clean up the language, and do the right thing for the state of Arizona. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Tim Cutbirth, Glendale.
Morning, I'm Tim Cutbirth. I represent myself. I've been a longtime animal lover and pass it on to my son, and he became a animal biologist instead of his wife. So I think what we pass on to our children is really important, especially at a young age. I don't believe that hunting's fine and it's because it's regulated in certain ways, but I don't believe that this is a humanitarian or loving way to treat our animals. And like the woman behind me said, that young kids, when they learn that killing for fun, well, you know, that shapes their thinking. So, of course, it's okay to kill people if you want to feed them things when they're young. That's what they're going to become. So I'm just a strong believer that, as I hear these people's comments, that it's educating me to both sides of the story. But I think what we put into our children and our laws, and if we don't take care of things that are important, which is our children and law life, we're going to suffer a bad consequence later. So I encourage you to close these loopholes. And you can see from the majority of people here behind me, there's a lot of people that care about animals. And if we don't take care of it, no one else will. Thank you.
Thanks for your comments. Jerry Kendrick from Sedona. Good morning.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. My name's Jerry Kendrick. I'm from Sedona, Arizona, and I represent no one but myself, although a lot of other folks seem to agree with my stance. To save time, I agree with what has been advanced before. We need to close out the loopholes and prohibit wildlife killing contest entirely. So I urge you to follow up on that. More important, I'm proud of Arizona. I'm proud of the job that our government does. I hope that we will do it ethically. And I come from a law enforcement background. I take ethics seriously. And a wise police chief once told me that ethics wasn't hard. It was just a matter of three words: bell, book, and candle. And if a bell goes off in your head, something just kind of doesn't sound right, that's a warning that it might not be a path you want to go down. Book, if it's illegal, it's against the law, clearly it's not a route we want to take. But the other one, the important one in this case, I think, is the candle, the light of day. And do killing contests stand up to the light of day? Is that something that we want on the front page of our papers? They're not, because people don't know. And that's telling that they go to such great lengths to maintain the secrecy of these. I know you're honorable gentlemen, and you take your duty seriously. I appreciate that. I thank you for your service, and I trust you to do the right thing. Thank you.
Thanks for your comments. All right, I cannot read the last name on this. First name is P. Morgan from Cottonwood.
I agree with what everyone else has been saying about the loopholes.
Thanks for being here. All right. Karen Michael, Phoenix. Good morning.
Hi. Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Karen Michael, and I represent the Animal Defense League of Arizona. The Arizona Game and Fish Department and the Commission are to be commended for proposing this rule to ban wildlife contests, which are based not on sound scientific science. Scientific evidence are unethical, degrade the value of wildlife, and are a relic of the past, like blood sports of cockfighting and dogfighting, which Arizona banned decades ago. In 1999, ADLA was involved in the Commission's original rulemaking to ban wildlife killing contests, which was overturned the following year. Now, 20 years later, we have a second chance to prohibit these senseless events. While the proposed rule is helpful, it's not as complete as it should be to ensure that wildlife killing contests are banned in Arizona and to avoid proponents of such contests to find loopholes or other ways to circumvent the rule. Therefore, we are requesting that you incorporate the amendments to the proposed rule that ADLA submitted to the Commission last month. One of the most significant ambiguities, as others have mentioned, in the proposed rule language is the definition of contest, in which public online forums contest hunters have deemed as a broad loophole and provide examples of how easily circumvented the rule can be. We request that the Commission strike the requirement that participants must register or record entry and pay a fee. We hope that the Commission will take this step to close loopholes and strengthen enforcement by including the suggested amendments to the proposed rule. Thank you.
Thanks for your comments. Vincent Jones.
My name is Vincent Jones. I'm from Phoenix. Most of my points in my speech have already been covered, but I do want to point one thing, and that's the ethical and social impact of your decision today. So Arizona is seen by the entire country as a wilderness state. We're known for having typically more permissive laws and kind of still seen as Wild West. In a time where environmental state of the entire world really is attention's being paid to it, attention's being paid to the effects of ecosystems, what happens when one collapses and everything else. So I had a speech written, but it kind of came apart, so I'm trying to piece this together. For Arizona to pass a ban on wildlife killing contests, which does have direct environmental impacts on its ecosystems, isn't just doing for Arizona, it's doing for the country. When the rest of the country sees that Arizona, a wilderness state, can do something as bold as pass a wildlife killing contest, they may be more inclined to cross the fence and pass those laws themselves. And so I think just one thing to keep in mind is your decision today will have an ethical impact on how the rest of the world sees Arizona and should have some kind of impact on how they make their decisions in the future.
Thanks for your comments. Matt Francis from Prescott. Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Matt Francis. I'm here representing myself and Project Coyote. I want to thank you all of you, seriously, for taking this first step. I understand it's difficult, and I understand that it may be the most controversial decision in game and fish history. Project Coyote agrees with all of the comments made here today and would encourage you to pass the modified language that would add the word non-game to the first sentence of the rule and strike the restrictive language for a contest in the second sentence. I want to address what Mr. Odenkirk said as far as reasoning for not doing this. He stated that the Commission believed that the rule as written would stop most of the major kill contest organizers from holding these contests in Arizona. which seems to insinuate that it would allow the smaller, more local groups to go ahead. Maybe I understood that wrong, but I'm just trying to follow the logic that a loophole is a loophole, and surely if the smaller contest organizers are going to do that here, the larger ones are too. I can't think of a reason why a large contest organizer who is making a lot of money would move to another state if there's no penalty really for just simply changing registration or what prizes are given or not given. I'm trying to follow the logic here, and I just want to encourage you to pass the loophole-free rule so we can all be done with this today. I would love that. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for your comments. Doug Treadway from Dewey.
Good morning. My name is Doug Treadway. I'm from Dewey, Arizona. The Arizona Game and Fish Commission has a golden opportunity to right the wrongs of how predators have been maligned by eliminating predator control killing contests on our public lands. The ancient Greek philosopher Pythagoras believed, as long as man continues to be a ruthless destroyer of lower beings, he will never know health or peace. For as long as men massacre animals, they will kill each other. How true this is, gentlemen. I do not consider myself a bleeding heart, emotional person. I've hunted most of my adult life. I was employed as a big game guide, and I believe in prudent predator control when necessary. Now in my mid-70s, age and experience have taught me the indiscriminate killing of animals is nothing any true sportsman or sane person should be proud of. I no longer hunt, but still relish eating a juicy steak. The last hunt I partook in was a meat hunt for cow elk several years ago. While field dressing a cow, I noticed something unusual in the freshly fallen snow. There lay an elk fetus beside its dead mother, its heart still beating. That moment profoundly taught me a valuable lesson, that all wildlife needs to be treated humanely and with dignity. A question we all need to ask ourselves, when is wasteful killing of wildlife ever justified? Chapter 3, verses 19 and 20 in the book of Ecclesiastes refers to humans and animals having the same destiny. One dies just like the other. All have been given the same breath of precious life. By approving a solid rule abolishing wildlife killing contests on our public lands, my gut tells me the vast majority of Arizonans believe this is morally the right thing to do. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for your comments. Kim Flaherty from Tucson. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Kim Flaherty from Tucson. As someone who cherishes nature and wildlife, I am deeply troubled by wildlife killing contests and the utter disregard for life they represent. It's shocking that any public agency would sanction a contest in which the person who perpetrates the most violence and causes the most destruction of life actually gets rewarded. I would expect leaders charged with managing our state's wildlife to demonstrate respect for the unique role each species plays in our ecology, including the important role of predators like coyotes. But to allow killing contests demonstrates a complete lack of respect for wildlife and only serves to devalue animals and their place in nature. To see photos of dead coyotes piled up by the dozens, to think of how they were tricked into their own slaughter by technological gadgets, and to think of how they suffered, and for what, a cash prize of a couple $1,000s or a lifetime hunting license? It's obscene. As to the claims that coyote killing contests are needed to curb overpopulation and stem predation of livestock, such claims are not backed by science.
Studies show that killing is ineffective and that coyotes will actually breed more to make up for any instability or vacuums in local populations. Moreover, there are many non-lethal alternatives, such as motion sensory lighting, electric fencing, guard dogs, and shed lambing, which have proven more effective in reducing predation than killing. Your efforts should be focused on promoting these alternatives, not sanctioning the wanton killing of wildlife. Commissioners, you have the opportunity today to finally put an end to these barbaric, short-sighted, and senseless killing contests. Contests that a great majority of Arizonans neither participate in nor support. Please vote in favor of the ban. And I didn't know about the loopholes, but of course, please close those loopholes. Thank you.
Thanks for your comments. Vanessa Vandermark from Sedona. Thanks for being here. Marcus.
My name is Marcus Moschetto, representing myself. And I'm from Prescott. And just to keep it short and simple, I support the spirit of this legislation, and I request that the loopholes be closed, full stop. Thank you.
Thanks for your comments. Clint from Tempe.
My name is Clint Belabusco. I'm from Tempe. I'm representing myself. I think that this is a good step in the right direction. I think it should be. I think it should be supported and it should be passed. I think it should be a step in the right direction of a long time of expanding the definition of what ought to be protected, including other wildlife groups as well, such as fishing. I think that should be something that should be included in there. I don't think there is a reason to just protect predator species, as the ecosystem is a complete system that is interrelated with each other. And I think that this is something that should be passed today and revised without allowing the hunters to continue to kill for no reason. I think that it makes a lot of sense to try to prohibit unnecessary violence. And I think that's what this measure that we're voting on today has to offer. Thank you.
Emily Wren from Flagstaff. Good morning.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. Thank you for this opportunity today. My name is Emily Wren. I'm from Flagstaff, Arizona, and I work with an organization called the Grand Canyon Wolf Recovery Project that focuses on education and outreach about wolves and other predators. I do have my bachelor's and my master's in fish and wildlife management from NAU, and I grew up in a family where my grandfather was a very avid hunter. He liked to tell me stories as a child, and many of those stories actually included his regrets at the end of his life. So he was looking back on some of the hunting stories and some of the animals and situations he had been in that he actually regretted. And so I hope through this current rulemaking process and this change in our culture with the attitude towards wildlife killing contests, I hope that someday people that have participated in these kinds of contests will look back and feel that same feeling that my grandfather once had, even though he loved hunting and very much supported ethical hunting and eating of the animals that he had killed. Another thing, I do agree with all the comments that have been made so far about closing and striking the language on paying and registering an entry fee. I do believe that needs to be struck. And I also would like to see that non-game animals are included in this rule as it's passed today. In comparison to the 1999 rule, that rule did include non-game animals. And I believe that would send the message that native animals that do not currently have bag limits in the state rules should be included, and that people do not just switch their contests from predators and fur bearers to non-game animals. And with that, I thank you.
Thanks for your comments. Andrea Diaz.
Hello. So my name is Andrea Diaz. I'm a Phoenix resident, and I am also representing myself. I am an animal rights activist. I'm here today because I actually just heard about this recently, and I think it's quite sad that we have to get everyone to vote on this. I think we're killing animals for no reason, and again, it's quite sad. I've been to a lot of places of violence, and this is actually the most shocking. As we all know throughout history, legality does not equal morality, and I think that you all have a unique opportunity to close that gap. Thanks.
Thanks for your comments. Rita Burton, would you like to be heard? Is Rita here? Okay. Mark Krotz. Carrie from Scottsdale.
Good morning, Commissioner.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for having this meeting and allowing public input. I really appreciate it. I'm just going to read some points. I want to thank all the prior speakers for so eloquently covering most of the points I was going to. So really, I'm kind of left with giving my own opinions. First of all, I should start off by saying I'm a fourth generation Arizona, and my family's been here for a long, long time. And my family's full of hunters. My dad was a hunter, and he took me hunting. And he always taught me to hunt ethically, not just to kill something to kill it. There's something just inherently wrong to kill animals just for killing. I recently found out about this contest shooting. I'm embarrassed to say that I didn't know anything about it previously. And when I found out, I was appalled, and I was embarrassed for the state of Arizona that they had this despicable practice. And I want to remind everyone here that the animals and the wildlife in Arizona belong to all of us. They all are our gift from God, and they need to be treated respectfully. I am totally against any kind of contest for mass killing of animals of any kind, and I would hope that the board would not only close loopholes, but just get rid of contests for killing indiscriminately, mass killing such as this, totally, not just closing loopholes, just getting rid of it. There's no place in Arizona for killing indiscriminately like this. Just one other point I want to make is that, you know, I've been here all my life, and I can remember times when I was a little girl coming down from Flagstaff, seeing herds of antelope all over the place at Sunset Point. And, you know, I haven't seen that in years, and I recently took a trip to Wyoming and Montana and came down through New Mexico and so forth. And I found it very interesting that in the northern states, you see animals, wild animals, you know, of all kinds, but particularly we saw lots of deer and antelope everywhere, just herds and herds. And the further you came down, the less and less animals you saw to where we got to Arizona, we didn't see anything. And I think that's just a sad state of affairs for Arizona. I've lived here all my life. I've seen one bear. I've never seen a mountain lion. I've seen one bobcat. And I get out a lot. I'm in the woods a lot. And I just ask that in general that we really appreciate our wildlife here in Arizona, and I wish we could see more of it. So I thank you for this opportunity, and I hope you'll make the right decision. Thank you.
Your comments. Celeste Hibbets from Phoenix.
Hello. My name is Celeste Hibbets from Phoenix, Arizona. I represent myself, and I have this wonderful opportunity to speak with you all gentlemen today, so thank you for that. I am a pre-veterinary college student at Arizona State University. I am currently an honor student, and I'm very excited to finish my program soon. I'm also a concerned community member. I'm an animal care volunteer at multiple local wildlife centers, and where I see our community members, talented veterinary staff, and even younger generations strive to help protect, save, and rehabilitate our wildlife, much of the animals that we see around this room right now. But I've noticed, unfortunately, that our predator wildlife are not even pictured here. No coyote, no wildcat. And I hope to include that as well as our protection. And I believe that we love our state, our community. And I hope that love is spread to those who live all around us. This ban, along with the amendments that my friends have stated prior, will be the precedent for not only our beautiful community, but also nationwide. Thank you.
Thanks for your comments. Joe Trudeau from Prescott. Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Joe Trudeau. I am from Prescott and representing the Center for Biological Diversity. My comments today are inspired by Commissioner Davis. Thank you, Mr. Commissioner, for introducing this rule. It's a great step forward for the people of Arizona and the wildlife of Arizona. I agree with the previous speakers about the tightening up the loopholes. That's all I'll say about this. I heard you on KJZZ a few weeks ago, a good interview. I appreciate your attention to this issue. On that radio interview, you almost exclusively focused on the social blight that these contests pose, and that your decision will reflect the changing social concerns in Arizona. This is true, indeed, and I recognize that they will...
You probably gather interviews are lengthy.
And they just chose sound bites.
Thank you.
I totally recognize that. Happens to me all the time, too. So it's true, but we would be remiss to not recognize that there is the science aspect to this, as some other people have mentioned. The fact that there is no scientific basis for the indiscriminate killing of predators to protect ungulate fawning. That's just one example. So let's not forget that good science must drive wildlife management. We all recognize that here, I think. We have another problem that society is facing, declining huntership, right? Our programs are funded by hunting dollars. We are facing a looming crisis of how we fund wildlife management, not just in this state, but in many states. So I hope that this conversation that we're having about killing contests really stirs a robust public dialogue about how we fund the department, what the priorities of the commission are, and how we move forward as a wildlife management department, not just a game management department, to truly represent the wishes of a broader constituency of the public that cares a lot about threatened and endangered species recovery. I recognize the work the department does with recovery for threatened and endangered species and appreciate it. I get to work with those people regularly. But we can do a lot more. And I just want the department and the commissioners to know your greatest allies in this are these people behind me today. That if we can continue to engage the public like this, we will bring the commission and the department into the 21st century for the betterment of all wildlife. Thank you.
Thanks for your comment. All right. That is the last blue speaker's card that I have. Did we miss anybody? Did anybody else fill out a card that wants to be heard? If you'd give that to Chief Elms and you can come up here to the microphone.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you all for being here. All these speakers were amazing and our...
Please tell me your name.
Mary Ruth. And I'm here representing myself, but also the great, sensible, responsible people of Arizona, our children, our wildlife, and our planet. I support the Second Amendment. I love guns, actually. I have a really cool PPQM-2 tungsten. But only responsible. You know, I love wildlife. I think it's fine to hunt like our wonderful Native Americans did. before us that tried to teach us some important things, but we didn't listen too well. The balance, you know, the big picture of everything. I was saddened and totally ashamed when I found this out, and thank goodness for the biodiversity group that I'm a part of that sent me that information. I couldn't believe it. I thought, you know, I remember when the trains went across the country and the men just put down the window and shot and slaughtered all of our buffalo to near extinction. I mean, that's like that. I mean, really, this is just like that. I had a question. How many people here today have participated in the wildlife killing contest? How many people today here participated in that?
I'd like you to direct your comments towards the commission, please.
Okay, well, I had to just see if anybody put their hand up. How many people are here in support of the wildlife killing massacre contest here today? Oh, just as I suspected. It's like the bullies on the internet, right? Okay. So nobody is here to support that vile behavior, and we should be ashamed. I was saddened. I was flabbergasted. I was ashamed. I love Arizona. I love responsible hunters and good people. I love Arizona Game and Fish. And I love these guys for being here, too, because in the middle of the night when I woke up, I got, oh, my God, do I need to take my gun with me? Do I need to take my mace? Is there going to be somebody there to protect me from a mass murderer that grew up killing massive amounts of animals just
to
watch them?
We need to get you. You're about out of time.
Okay, I know.
You're
sorry.
Out of time. We need to
sorry,
get you
I got off
up.
On a tangent there. I'm sorry. But I was so happy to see them when I got here. So, anyway, I love Arizona Game and Fish. I know you guys will do the right thing. Your children, your grandchildren, are depending on you to do the right thing, and they'll be very proud of what you do in regards to this. Thank you.
Thank you. Jean, I didn't get that blue card from her, if we could get that. Oh, okay. Thank you. All right. That ends our public comment portion of this. Did we have anybody in the regional offices? No, okay. All right, Mr. Odenkirk, if you wouldn't mind coming back up. Any comments or questions for Mr. Odenkirk from the commission? Okay. All right, Mr. Odenkirk, do you have a recommendation for the commission?
I do. Mr. Chairman, the department recommends that the commission vote to approve the Notice of Final Rulemaking and Economic Impact Statement amending R-12-4-303-A-41.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chairman?
Commissioner Davis?
I'll make a motion. I want to have a comment while I make that motion. The motion will be to accept the department's recommendation and approve final rulemaking and the economic impact statement amending R-12-4-303. And my comments related to that are, first of all, I want to thank my fellow commissioners. When I made a motion at a previous meeting to open this process, I appreciate the willingness of my fellow commissioners to consider this issue and to evaluate it. And I know all of my fellow commissioners have read the comments provided to us. I also, though, want to thank the department for the diligence in working through this rules process. And in particular, I want to thank Jim Odenkirk for our folks in the crowd that came here to see us today. Jim Odenkirk is, I have zero doubt, and I know my fellow commissioners will tell you, is the finest wildlife attorney in the United States. The state is very fortunate to have him. There's not a lot of lawyers with specific wildlife expertise. He's one of the few, and I can tell you, and as a Arizona resident, he's as committed to wildlife as anybody. When the commission asked the department to contemplate a rule to examine these contests, it's no different than the our request to the department when we make any form of rule, hunt guidelines, hunt orders. The commission, part of the commission's role is to always be examining the pursuit of wildlife in our state. And that pursuit of that wildlife is done based on science, based on social issues, based on economic concerns. That's part of the delicate balance that the department and the commission manages wildlife. But for many people in this room, they may not know that Arizona has well over 800 species of wildlife that this commission and this department manages. It, in fact, has the most wildlife species of any state in the country that doesn't have an ocean, because we don't have ocean fish that we get to count. It's an extraordinarily complex system of managing that wildlife, and to ensure that that wildlife continues on for multiple generations. So all of us in this room, whether hunter, not hunter, doesn't matter, are able to have our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, see those species in the wild. And that's what the department does day in and day out. This commission works with the department to set policies that ensure that we have those species day in and day out, and then works on the reintroduction of species that are close to being lost, and very successfully does that as well. Somebody mentioned the wolf program as an example. This department and this commission has spent millions of dollars reintroducing the wolf. It's a complex project. Population is growing. That's just one of the great success stories of this department. It's one of the success stories in managing all wildlife and how wildlife is pursued, when it's pursued, how it's pursued, and whether it can be pursued or not. All of those things happen in this building and in front of this commission day in and day out. Hunters, as it was mentioned by one of the speakers, hunters and anglers fund the vast majority of wildlife conservation in this country. They are and will be, for the foreseeable future, the backbone of the funding of wildlife conservation. So when establishing rules and regulations, which we do regularly on the commission, the consideration of how we approach and regulate those hunters is part of what we have to do to ensure that balance between the perpetuation of wildlife and the ability to manage that wildlife. So one of the things I'm going to ask everybody in this room, if you don't own a hunting or fishing license, or if that's not your thing, when you will leave here today, there's also an opportunity to go to the front desk where you can buy a hunting and fishing license or a wildlife conservation package that supports this department, so that it can continue to perpetuate over 800 species. So I hope everyone that has not done that will help do that by going to the front desk on the way out. But going to the rules specifically, the rules governing the pursuit of wildlife, which again this commission deals with month after month, meeting after meeting, we know one thing when we establish rules for the pursuit of wildlife. 99% of hunters follow those rules. They understand the intent, they understand the purpose, and they understand that that's how they can stay in the field, by not running afoul of those requirements. So when we establish those regulations, you can always look at any hunting regulation and come up with a conclusion that you think there's a loophole. But there isn't, because 99% of hunters follow the requirements that are put in front of them in the pursuit, an ethical pursuit of wildlife. We also have a professional department of over 600 folks that engage the public, engage hunters, anglers, and if there is a quote-unquote loophole in any of our requirements related to the pursuit of wildlife, they will let this commission know. And then the commission, in turn, can take appropriate action if that were to be found to be true. But out of the gate, one of the things the commission does in the establishment of rules and requirements for the ethical pursuit of wildlife is to start from the premise that people will understand the purpose and why that rule is put in place, and that 99% of them will obey that requirement and will honor it. If 1% chooses not to or attempts to believe that there are loopholes, our wildlife managers, WMs, game rangers, whatever you'd like to call them, will do a good job of enforcing that rule. And in turn, if they feel that that rule is not working as intended by the commission, again, they will inform the leadership of this department and our legal counsel, and the commission would be informed if that were an actual reality. So I am very comfortable with the rule. As the person that made the initial motion, I share, based on my understanding and beliefs of the North American model, and I think I've never heard myself quoted before, so that was nice for the speaker that actually quoted back to me something I said, and I honor those words when I agree that I don't believe that the contests personally meet the standards of what are set forth in the North American model. And I'm equally convinced that the rule that has been proposed, that I support, deals with that appropriately. And again, we've served on this commission, many of us, for numerous years. And if that is held to be not true, the commission, I have no doubt, as it has on other hunting and requirements related to being in the field, would deal with it at that time. But the rules have to be balanced in the sense that they can be enforceable, that they can be successful, and that they can educate those who are in the field. And that's really, at the end of the day, the purpose of a rule. And I'm very confident that this rule will be a very clear signal. I can tell you, for example, it is much clearer, much stronger than New Mexico, who passed a predator hunting contest ban, but they specified one particular species. So I'm very proud of what the department's done, and I'm proud of the commission's work. And Mr. Chairman, thank you for letting me go on long-winded, but this has been, like many of the things that we work on, somebody mentioned this may be the most controversial. The commission deals with numerous controversial issues on a regular basis because of the managing of 828 species is a complicated thing. And the people up here that volunteer and the people who choose a career of public service working in our department, they care about game, non-game. They care about endangered species. They come here every day, most of them not being paid nearly half of what they should be, to ensure, again, that all of us can go take our grandchildren, or hopefully our great-grandchildren, and see the wonder that is Arizona. So I'm glad there's a lot of people here, and I'm hope, again, on the way out, you will help fund this world-class wildlife agency who receives not one dime of state general fund money and does an amazing job. And if you can grab one of them on the way out, thank them for what they do day in and day out. Arizona's wildlife is something to behold and something to be extraordinarily proud of. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to approve.
Thank you, Commissioner Davis. We have a motion to approve the notice of final rulemaking and economic impact statement. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Commissioner Brake, are you still with us?
Yes.
Okay.
The only thing I would add is Commissioner Davis did an excellent job of explaining how I, as a commissioner, feel about the whole situation. It's not even a tough call. It's a logical call. And if there was going to be loopholes in it, the commissioners are going to be the first ones to fix it. There is no doubt in my mind that maybe somebody might try, but that's not why we're, if we pass And I believe we will. I don't believe that we're going to allow any loopholes to, because that was the end game. So thank you, Commissioner Davis, for saying the things so elegantly that I wish I had the ability to do.
We have a motion by Commissioner Davis, a second by Commissioner Guggenhauer. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Mr. Director.
Mr. Chairman, that was the only item on our agenda, so...
Need a motion to adjourn. So motion by Commissioner Guggenhauer.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Davis. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We are now adjourned.
Aye.